Good morning, Shiloh. How's everybody doing this morning? I am too. I was telling Pastor Atticus a little while ago when we were praying in the back, I just have such a sweet spirit of peace on me right now. And coming out of the week that I just came out of, it was much needed. But you know, that's how the enemy operates. I was going to be up here delivering God's word to my brothers and sisters, and that just infuriates the enemy. So he tries to make all of our lives awful to the point where we'll quit. But none of us are quitters in here, right? Absolutely. So, special weekend, Memorial Day weekend. I trust that all of you are enjoying this long weekend. 4 days for us that work on post. But as we saw earlier with the memorial and the tribute that Elder Willie and Cesar did, this is more than just an ordinary weekend. It's a time to reflect and remember the men and women that have served our country and paid the ultimate sacrifice. So I trust all of you are taking at least a moment this weekend to remember those. Reflecting or remembering is actually a large part of what I want to share with you today. Because in just a few weeks, I know this is going to sound crazy, in just a few weeks we will be at the midpoint of 2018. That is absolutely frightening how fast time goes now. Time did not move this fast when I was sitting in a classroom in high school. But now that I'm on the other side of the hill, the proverbial hill, it just goes so fast. So when Pastor Eric, and I just want to give a blessing to Pastor Eric and Raquel as they're out enjoying this long weekend and taking a little respite, a little bit of rest, because how many understand they deserve it? They do a great deal for us as a body of believers, and I hope they're enjoying themselves. But he asked me about a month ago, which I thank very much, to do this this message on this Memorial Day weekend, and I like a lot of time to plan, but sometimes I plan too much. And I can get wrapped around the axle and change stuff and mess with it until it doesn't even look like what I started with. But I backed off from that, but I did start with taking a look at where we've been this year. So much rich and robust word has been delivered from this pulpit by Pastor Eric and every single speaker that's came up here. And I took a look at what exactly has been preached. I had to go to the Shiloh website and go into the bank of all the messages that have been brought forth. But I was able to rearrange all those messages and look for some central themes that God has wanted to share with us this year so far. Let me emphasize so far, because we still have a whole half a year to go. So, what have we heard? We know coming into 2018, right after the holiday break, we heard not just here at Shiloh, but all over the nation, that 2018 was going to be the year of discipleship. We also heard messages on a sense of purpose, expedited delivery. Remember the appeal to heaven in Washington, D.C.? And then I came up here in January, towards the end of January, and talked about the power of purpose prayer. And then a little later in February and March, we heard about three key baptisms: resurrection power, the suffering Messiah before the victorious Messiah, remember that one? Escape from fear that Pastor Carolyn delivered, and embracing the transition that Elder Laurent gave to us before he went to North Carolina. And then finally, we talked about essentials or enhancers, joining the network, the unlikelies or coincidences. and compassionate reassignment. So as I looked at all those things, and I'm trying to decipher what are the hidden messages that God had for us in all of those timely words, and I came up with three things. Number one, the importance of vision. And I'm going to get into all this. So the second thing was understanding our birthright, our identity, and change. And the last piece of the puzzle was connection. Could I get that first slide, please? The title of today's message is Transformative Principles. And no, this is not chemistry class or some kinds of science class. I know that looks like a big school word, but it's really not when you break it down. What do we mean by transformative? Transformative is nothing more than change. And principles are those standards that we apply to our life to guide us through whatever it is. In this case, transformation or change. So the two of them together are the standards or principles that we can apply to our life as we change. I hope everybody understands that we are changing every single day. It may not feel like it, but how many of you can feel the earth revolving or rotating on its axis? It is every single day. Obtaining vision, knowing your birthright and your identity, that could be a tough one. And connection, which I'll get more into. But we're only halfway done. What's next? I don't know about you, but for me, I have felt this shift, as we've heard many times from the pulpit. And because we're a prophetic church, we've heard it in prophecy right up here with Pastor Marge several times. Something is coming. We have to be ready for it. We cannot sit on our laurels and remain the same as we were yesterday. We have to change in order to prepare for whatever that will be. And in the meantime, we have to rely on our faith and trust God that whatever it is, we're prepared. These are the things I want to be able to answer as I deliver this message today. What is transformation? Why do we need to change? And how do we change? Can I get Romans 12:2? I work at it Amplified. I love it. Do not be conformed to this world or this age. I could stop right there with everything that's going on right now. Fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be what? Transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Be transformed and progressively changed. Progressively changed. This is not something that's going to happen overnight. I heard once when I was a little kid one of the most frightening statements. My young mind was just not able to wrap my arms around it. But somebody told me, I think I might have been 7 or 8 years old, that from the day that you were born, each day you're dying a little more. I'm OCD to begin with. And I hear this and I'm like, every day looking in the mirror, am I still here? Am I decaying? Because none of us know how many days we have here. I didn't need to hear it that way. But luckily, God had me, kept me in the palm of His hand, and made me understand that we're changing, progressively changing, the entire time until we're done changing and we go on to be with our Heavenly Father. Let me go back to that transformative principle slide. Why do we need to change? Think about that for a second. If we don't change, we're stagnant. I had a picture in a previous class that I was teaching, and it said, "You choose." One picture was a babbling brook with the water flowing over the rocks, full of life and lush and green. And then the other one was this stagnant pond with mosquitoes and flies hanging around it, and it looked so bad that you could almost smell what was going on in that picture. You know what I'm saying? We choose. Which do we choose to be? The babbling brook full of life or the stagnant pond? I wish I could say that my entire life I was the babbling brook. But it wasn't always like that. If you look at that little graphic there in the corner, that's something we're going to talk about and revisit at the end. We're all on this spiritual transformation journey. Each of those pins or signposts or milestones, whatever you want to call them, are common to each of us. What takes place in between those pins is called our life and our experiences. But the path is common. The other thing to remember as you look at this graphic is the duration of time that you spend in between those pins. Does that make sense? We can get stuck. Some never make it to the next pin. We begin at the altar. Our encounter with Christ. Each of us has experienced it in a different way. And we become saved. We experience salvation. That's when we're exploring Christ. But if we don't understand what we need to get to pin number two, you can fall away. That's why discipleship is such a powerful and necessary thing for every church to have. Because we've seen a lot of people come up to the altar here recently, right? Giving their lives to Christ for the first time or rededicating. If you don't have somebody to shepherd them or disciple them, they never get to pin number two. But for those of us that are lucky and have good spiritual mentors, mothers, fathers, pastors, elders, we begin to grow in Christ. We understand what prayer is. We talk to God, and we start to change or transform. But we're still lacking something, and that's vision. Vision only comes to those who communicate with the Father. And we all understand the Bible tells us that without vision, the people perish. But let's say we're talking to God, we're communicating, He deposits that vision in us, and now we are growing in Christ. Change is still necessary because we're not functioning at our optimum capacity yet. So we need to be inspired. Inspiration is a neat word. Because right in the middle of it, the S-P-I-R refers to breath. Respiratory, inspire. It's God's breath within us that propels us forward and keeps us going. Now we're getting close to Christ. But there's still one thing that's missing. And that's connection. After you become saved, even though it may feel like it, You are the center of the universe. People are extolling love on you and hugging on you and building you up. But that is a temporary state, because when you are operating at optimum capacity, it shifts to where it is no longer about you, but about them and the them outside the doors. Does that make sense? Let me go back to that first slide. Lastly, the question I want to answer is, how do we change? There's a couple different ways to navigate change. One's good, one's bad. I was the king of bad change for many, many, many years. But it was only because I was trying to do it Tony's way, not God's way. So applying these biblical principles, and I'm going to give you four things. Can you take away four things today, put it in your pocket, implement it in your life? These helped me. I know they will help you. Let's go to communication, slide one. Captain Obvious here, right? You don't talk to God, not good. It's an exchange of information or a connection between two people, but I want to lay off the word connection. We'll get to that at the end. It's so obvious that we have to do this, but yet so many fail to do this. I saw a meme on Facebook just a couple days ago, and I was like, man, I've already submitted my slides. I want to use this, though. And it said, if you're saying that God is silent and your Bible is closed, you're wrong. There's millions and millions of people in America, and millions of Christians, or people who claim to be Christians in America, that don't even talk to God. They want to be able to receive the benefits of being a child of God, but not even communicate with the Father to understand His purpose and vision for our lives. They don't want to meet the conditions. They just want to reap the benefits. You know people like that? We all do. Some of us might be sitting in the congregation right now. I was like this at one time. It's hard to talk to a God that you can't see, you can't touch, because we're governed by our five senses. But when we do communicate with Him, so much happens. And if you think about it, when we communicate with Him, if we communicate with Him, that is the first and foremost manifestation of our what? Faith. As a parent, me and Margarita have six boys. It drives me absolutely crazy when I desperately want them to talk to me about something. But all of them at different points in their life and still governed by ego and testosterone. And even though I have the benefit of already walking in their shoes and successfully navigating it, they don't talk to me. I think about that all the time. As a father, how do I feel when my children don't talk to me? And then it hits me. As a father, how does God feel when we don't talk to Him? Horrible. And I always say, Jesus, our teacher, our Savior, never asks us to do anything that He hasn't done already. And I point to Matthew 26 in the Garden of Gethsemane. Emmanuel, God on earth with us, before the most important day in history, tells a couple folks, you guys go sit over here. I'm going to go pray. The Son of God stops to take time out to talk to the Father so he knows and understands how to navigate the next day. You would think, being part of the Trinity, that he already had that in him. He didn't need to talk to God, but he did. Then how can we expect to navigate tomorrow or the next day or next week if we're not communicating with God? We do it all the time, and it ain't pretty. And then when things get bad enough, then we get on our knees. Then we get on our faces and go, oh, God. When if we would have had the lines of communication open to begin with, he could have showed us how to navigate that day, that week, that month, that season. Does that make sense? Transformation starts with communication. If what the Bible says about faith, that it is impossible to please God without it, well, what's the implied? If you're not communicating, you're not showing faith. So if you're not communicating, it's impossible to please God. There's no specific order to these things that I'm talking about today, these principles. But this one kind of makes sense to begin with. All of them have to be done. But communication is number one. Let's go to the next slide. The second thing is vision. Simple, right? To see, sight, maybe something imagined or pictured in the mind. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, not yet seen. Or it could be a dream or part of a supernatural experience. That's not my words. That's right out of Merriam-Webster. A supernatural experience. Can we pull up Job 33, 14 through 16? For God does reveal his will. He speaks not only once, but more than once. Why do you suppose he has to do that? Because sometimes we're not listening. People are like, oh man, you know, I've had this dream last night. God came to me in a vision. He told me things. The reason we have dreams and visions is because there's too much white noise, too much garbage, too much distractions during the day. So at night, while we're sleeping, he has a captive audience. So he may tell you something during the day, but if you're not listening or you're having a hard time listening, he'll come back to it. Even though men do not regard it, including you, Job. Let me get that next scripture, Genesis 37. When you think of dreams and visions, who immediately comes to mind in the Bible? Joseph. Joseph had these dreams, but he didn't use very good discretion when he started telling people about it. There's something to be learned in that. Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers and they hated him. So maybe, just maybe, when God speaks to you in visions, go consult your pastor or your elder and run it by them before you tell it to the masses outside the doors. But the thing I want you to take away here is vision is important. If your lines of communication are open and you're praying constantly without ceasing, God will deposit that vision. If you know people, family members, friends, what have you, and they are constantly what I call out there flapping, it's because they have no vision. And if they have no vision, they're probably not communicating. If you want purpose to your life, you got to get a hold of that vision. It should come VFR direct from God. But you know what? Even if you don't get it that way, God will put people in your life to make sure it gets to you. FedEx. Fax. Television show, movie. It'll come somehow. God's going to make sure you get that vision. Let's bring that vision slide back up. Let's go to the next one. Inspiration. This is what I call the fuel. You've been communicating, you've been talking to God, two-way communication, even the mundane things. You're sharing everything with Him like a father would like you to do. You get the vision, but times get tough. The vision can fall right off the cliff if things don't go exactly the way you anticipated them to. Challenges, pitfalls, trials, tribulations, fill in the blank, they're all applicable. Inspiration could be the act of simply influencing. An action or power of moving the intellect and the emotions, two pieces of the five components of the soul, which we know to be the mind, the will, the intellect, the imagination, and the emotion. An action or power that moves two of them. Divine influence or action on a person believed to qualify them. Qualify for what? We as Americans we're interesting, especially with social media out there now. At every juncture or important moment of our life, there's a certificate. Even pre-K students now, I see it all the time on Facebook. Cap and gown, walking across the stage, and I'm not knocking that. But we as human beings, as Americans, need that to mark the point along that spiritual journey, that journey called life, that validates that we have arrived here and we're going on to something else. Unfortunately, our spiritual walk is not like that. There is not a graduation or a ceremony or a cap and gown when you go from that first Christ experience to growing in Christ. Does that make sense? That's hard for us because we need that. We crave that. I'm here. I did good. Put the red star on my paper. I'm moving on to phase two. The Christian walk does not work like that. Divine influence or action on a person believed to qualify them to receive what? Communicate sacred revelation. Thank God for revelation. How many of us have beat our heads up against the wall trying to find out the purpose or the significance as to why something is the way it is? I'm on Pastor Jim's prayer chain. That keeps me pretty busy with all the things that are happening to the body of believers. And it doesn't always make sense. But it makes even less sense if you don't know your vision and you're not communicating with God. Some of these names that come through the prayer chain, I don't even know who they are. But thank God, I'm at a point in my spiritual journey where I don't have to know who you are. I'm going to pray for you because you're my brother, you're my sister, and that's what God has commanded us to do with loving one another. And I've seen miracles happen for so many of you as a result of that. I don't see Pastor Jim today, but thank God for that man. Let's go to Jeremiah 32, 39 and 40. And I will give them one heart and one way that they may reverently fear me forever for the good of themselves and of their children after them. That one heart, that one spirit, that steadfast spirit is at the heart of what I mean by inspiration as a biblical principle that you need in addition to communication and vision to propel you forward. There was a point this week, and I won't go into the details of what I was going through, but I was a dum-dum. I got too busy, I got too distracted, and my spirit meter got too low. And the enemy slipped right in there and started telling me all kinds of garbage, and I was not prepared. But all throughout the week, people were sending me text messages, showing up at my office out of the blue to encourage me and help me to move forward. They were inspiring me. I thank God for Pastor Atticus because he seems to be spiritually connected to me. So whenever I'm going through that, he just knows, and then I get text messages. It's an awesome thing. We all need that. Let me get that next scripture. 1 Peter 5:10. This is good, good stuff here. And after you have suffered, what? After I have suffered, yeah, that's part of it. One of the spiritual gifts is what? Long-suffering. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessing and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete. That goes back to the whole, my word will not return void. He will complete and make you what you ought to be. He will breathe life into you. He will inspire you until that journey is over and you aren't changing anymore, to make you what you ought to be. Establish and ground you securely, strengthen and settle you. I could have used this scripture all week long. He will complete. So yes, the change will continue. Yes, we are going to suffer. But if you are communicating and you not only understand but know his vision for you, you will be inspired to keep moving forward towards the prize in Christ Jesus. Amen. You all still awake out there? I know you're thinking about food. I'm thinking about food too. Margarita's making beans and rice today, and when that smell fills the house, it's love. Let's move on to the next principle. Connection. This is the final piece of the puzzle. And I didn't really understand this until just a couple of years ago. Connection, a relationship of personal intimacy, like family ties. However you feel about your family, if you care about them, if you love them, if you're concerned for them, you're concerned about their welfare, that should be to everybody else in here too, because they're your family as well. Kindred, I love that word. A group of people related to one another like family. Some of you may have heard the term kindred spirit. Like a family, tribe, or clan who share the same beliefs, attitudes, and feelings. Isn't that us? We show up here sometimes 3-4 times a week, and on Sunday, and do this all the time. I hope that we can say that about ourselves, that we share the same beliefs, attitudes, and feelings. Now, the last one. This is the coolest word ever. I am not a green thumb. I do not know how to plant stuff, make grass green. It's not just water, by the way. It takes other stuff. I don't know how to trim rose bushes, so I had to research this, but I found this term, scion. A person born into a rich, important family. Is our family rich and important? You betcha. A living portion of one plant grafted into another to support or promote its growth. Let's go to 1 John, 1 John 1. What we have seen and ourselves heard, we are also telling you so that you too may realize and enjoy fellowship as partners and partakers with us. And this fellowship that we have, which is a distinguishing mark of Christians, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ the Messiah. I have many family members who watch me from afar and are, you know, very impressed with my Christian walk, and occasionally will quote scripture to me. But then when I approach them and say, are you plugged into a church family? Are you getting fed? They come back to me with, oh, I don't need all that. I got this great relationship with God. It's just me and Him. I don't need the church. Have you heard that? What a joke. Do not forsake the assembly. We need each other. When I first started going to church, I was like that too. Getting up every Sunday morning and getting to church was a chore for me. Until later on in life, after I rededicated myself to Jesus, I started noticing that people were noticing that I wasn't in church. Tears in their eyes. Oh, I really needed to talk to you this weekend. I missed you. That's when I knew I was a little further on that path, and it was no longer about Tony. It was about others. Now, it's nothing for me to come on Sunday, every Sunday. I can't wait to get here. I love it so much that I come on Wednesday, Thursday night. I get in here as much as possible because good things happen when I'm in the house of God. I hope this is settling into spirits. I hope it's settling on hearts. Let me bring that slide up again. Grafted in. This is critical to understand. How many of you remember the parable of the olive tree? I don't see a lot of hands, so we're going to bring it up. Let's go to Romans 11:17. But if some of the branches were broken off while you, a wild olive shoot, yep, that was me, were grafted in among them to share the richness of the root and sap of the olive tree. And I don't want to read the whole thing, but that right there, this gets to the concept of being grafted in. You remember that word I brought up there a minute ago, the scion? In the horticultural business, the people who are good at grass and plants and stuff like that, there's a little thing that you can do when one branch of something is suffering. You cut it in such a way and plug it into a healthy, rooted plant that is thriving to where they start growing together. Is anybody getting this? Is anybody getting this? Even though you may be the wild shoot and dying on the vine and not doing generally well. You can be cut in such a way, something removed from what you currently are, and plugged in, grafted in to the healthy, rooted, fertilized, nurtured plant. And it changes your whole atmosphere. Pretty soon, you don't know where you begin and the other ends. That, my brothers and sisters, is the concept of the biblical principle of connection, being grafted in. If you don't feel that way yet, something's wrong. We got to get you that way. Let's bring back that first slide that had the spiritual journey on it. Remember, I said these signposts, these pins, are common to all of us. It's the experiences and the circumstances that take place in between that make us different as individuals. So I get to the altar. I'm officially now saved, and I am exploring Christ. Add the transformative principle of communication, and I maintain that healthiness. But I got to get to signpost number two. I want to be growing in Christ. Got to get God's vision. I've been communicating. I don't leave him alone like my sons do and not talk to me. He deposits that vision in my life. Now I'm officially growing in Christ. And then times get tough. So tough that at times I feel like walking away from God. This is all just too hard to do. But he inspires me. And if I can't get it from him, he puts people in my life to do it for me. Because I can be opaque sometimes, or resistant to change, or maybe still that wild olive shoot. Now I'm getting close to Christ. But then I realize it is no longer about me. And every single step that I do, every prayer, every time I read the Bible, every time that I teach, every time I get on my motorcycle and drive to some remote place in Cochise County to deliver a sermon, it's about the body of believers. It's about the kingdom mindset. Now I'm officially Christ-centered. I will be completely honest with you. I didn't even get past signpost number two until I was 38 years old. I had an incredible moment at the altar in November 1981, and it was good, man. I mean, you just feel like you're in a white sheet. No stains on me. But I wasn't discipled. Nobody shepherded me. And I joined the army, and I fell away from God for 20 years. It wasn't until I was 38 years old and God gave me Margarita that I got back on track. And let me tell you, that second experience, when you come back to God, is not quite as pleasant. It is a significant emotional event because all that stuff that you accumulated for 20 plus years has to come off. Like that dross that was burned off that Pastor Marge was talking about. Now I've been back with God since 2005, 13 years straight, and experiencing explosive growth. I don't know where I'm going, but I sure know where I've been. That's a rock and roll song, but it's applicable. I have faith. I communicate. I know his vision for me. I'm inspired daily. Fall down sometimes, but I'm at a point in this process where I can get back up and move forward. And I'm ever, ever, ever increasingly getting close to that red pin, Christ-centered, and it's an awesome, awesome feeling. So maybe, as you've heard this message today, something's touched your heart. Maybe some of you in the audience right now have never even gotten to pin one and experienced Christ. Maybe you knew Christ at one time, but for whatever reason or circumstances, you've fallen away. Today, on Memorial Day weekend, you can put the old you in the grave and rededicate your life back to Christ and get back on the path. Or maybe there's just things in your life right now that are preventing you from running towards that prize. Getting to the point where you're at the red pin and Christ-centered and functioning in your full optimum capacity as a son or daughter of Christ. Brothers and sisters, if any of those are you, I'm going to ask the pastors, elders, and leaders to come up to the altar and make themselves available to you, because we don't want you to walk out of these doors without getting back on the path. Transformative principles, applying those principles in your life so you can change the good way. The good way to change, because it's happening. Change is happening every day. And the kind of change that we're going to experience, what I feel towards the end of this year, we all have to be functioning at full optimum capacity. So if that's you, please make your way to the altar and we'll pray with you and get you back on that spiritual journey. Pastors and elders, if you would please come up. Don't wait another minute. Don't wait another day. If those biblical principles of communication, vision, inspiration, and connection touched your heart today, seal it right here at pin one. That's where it all begins. If it's a little too overt for you to come to the altar, I know when I got saved, I sat in the back row for what seemed like a lifetime until somebody came and prayed with me. If that's you and you're sitting out there, all heads bowed, just raise your hand. Let me know that that's you and you want to be prayed for. I want to make sure that anybody who has never, I see you right there, I got you. If that's you, I want to make sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that your name is written in the book of life. The angels will rejoice by that simple decision. Any other hands? Father God, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your timely and beautiful word that has been deposited on our hearts. And for the ones that raised their hands in the audience, Lord, they have made a decision that on this day that they want to put the old them behind them and join this rich, important family in Christ Jesus. Lord, we know we're sinners. We know we're sinners, but we recognize that your Son came and died for our sins. The sins before us, the sins of today, and the sins we haven't even committed yet. You sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Lord, we love you for that. There's nothing that we could do in this lifetime that will ever show the debt of gratitude that we have for what you did for us, Lord. And we seal it right now. We come against every form of evil that will try to keep us from pursuing that path to you, God. All we want is you. We thank you, Jesus. Let the angels rejoice for the soul that was just saved. Does anybody else need any prayer? It could be anything, guys. We all experience stuff all week long. If you need anything, come this way. There's people right here waiting.